Well, hello, superstars, and welcome back to another episode of Word Up with Danny Katz. Today, I am joined by me. Yes, we are solo podcasting today. I have so many little, maybe big, bits and pieces for us to move through today. And it is Gemini season, so I am channeling the extra complex, complicated, heady, thinky sign in leading us through this pod romp. Before we dive in, I am reminding you to click that subscribe button, to like, to share, to comment, to sign up for my newsletter at dannykatz.com. Before we start, I also want to remind you that even though there's all these creepy frequencies moving through the world by way of EMFs and cell phones and people's wearables, which I find so interesting, it is such an opportunity for us to re-examine our social contract and re-examine our responsibility around these devices. Because remember back 2020, when there was all of a sudden this COVID narrative and everyone was quote unquote supposed to be wearing muzzles to cover our faces to protect one another from the never isolated oogie boogie virus. That being said, no one has a problem with people using their cell phones out in the world, completely uncovered, unprotected, within close, aka not super safe proximity from their fellow human beings. So this just occurred to me because I have taken issue with flagrant, reckless, disrespectful, and attention fragmenting cell phone use out in the public sphere for years, because I see the damage it's doing, not just to people's sacred attention, which is their God-given right to fragment as they are inspired, right? That is the point of free will. We get to play our Earth games however we want. The key is, as long as we're not harming other people. So it first got my proverbial panties in a bunch because I saw the damage it was doing to the social contract of like, well, I'm with a person here in real time 3D flesh, and yet they're opting to ignore me to instead stare at a screen, at a little rectangle. And then it kind of escalated. For me, I noticed it first at the hot springs where it's like, I'm just in a tub chilling out and connecting with myself and the divine, you know, by way of the sacred waters. And then someone gets into a tub with a cell phone. And let us not forget, these are recording devices, right? So someone's on their phone while I'm in a tub, do, 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 do. They're pointing it at me. Granted, I have a case, which is the meat of the matter that we'll get to, but let's pretend that I was ignorant of the damage of cell phones and yet still so self-involved and distracted that I'm gonna get into a hot spring with a phone and I'm holding it up, do, 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 do. I'm pointing a recording device at the other people who are in the hot tub wearing bathing suits. Like, I find that so rude and disrespectful. And then I'm just supposed to trust that that person, stranger X, is not recording me or anyone else. And at the same time, knowing that the NSA and all the other data collectors, Palantir and whatnot, are recording, even if the person holding it isn't. So this is obviously been compounded by years of this unconscious addictive use of these devices. So now it's like at the gym, I'm waiting for the leg press machine and I'm waiting 2 to 3 to 9,000 times as long because the person who's on the machine is distracted with the device while doing half-ass leg presses, multitasking, not focusing, not being conscious on the other people waiting to use the machine, which would be available all the more quickly if the person was simply focused on the singular task at hand, which is exercising her leg muscles. So this is happening all the time, all the time, all the time, and all opportunities for me to cultivate patience, to cultivate compassion, to Breathe, right? Breathe through the frustration. And Defender Shield, which, as far as my research has shown me, is the maker of the very best EMF protection cases, blue blocker glasses. My headphones that I use when I'm working out or taking calls out in the world are also made by Defender Shield. So Dan came on my show. If you haven't checked out that podcast, I recommend going through the archives and finding it. And what he said, which really stuck with me, is 4 feet is the safety distance of these devices. So we want to be at least 4 feet away from these devices because of the frequencies that they emit. So I have, of course, always, I use no devices without protective gear. So this is my Defender Shield cell phone protection case, which I also have a case for my iPad and carrying case for my laptop, et cetera, et cetera. So when I'm out in the world using my phone, which doesn't happen because I don't bring my phone out into the world, and were I to do that, I would be not only safeguarding myself from the EMFs, but I would be safeguarding those around me. And it occurred to me recently, wow, when these people are bringing their phones into closed spaces, like when I go to the gym and I'm in the sauna and someone's there with her phone, I'm in a tiny box where these EMF frequencies are being, I don't know if they're being amplified, and I'm guessing that because we're in a small contained space, there's no kind of place for them to get away from me. And the people using their phones in these small contained spaces don't have these cases. So I'm curious to know, like, what the long-term repercussions are gonna be, not just in terms of any and all deleterious health effects and clear, cancel, delete, right? Let's lean in to the intelligence of our bodies, the resilience of our bodies. I'm sure that you're listening to my show are wearing EMF protections. And it just feels like I'm just really excited for the whole of humanity to wake up to the dangers of these devices. I mean, the various levels and tendrils of dangers are so lengthy, and I'm not going to take up much more of this podcast by going into them. And the whole point of this is to bring your attention to the Defender Shield line of EMF protective devices. On this week's Know Thyself Salon call, which I'm going to be speaking a little bit more about in today's solo podcast, I was surprised to hear that none of the badasses on the call had EMF protective cases around their phones. So no harm, no foul. We don't know what we don't know. And as you are listening to this podcast, I am inviting you to invest in some solid protective gear for your smartphone, your laptop, your iPad, for your ears. What headphones are you putting into your ears? I know there are people who, I'd venture to say, know better, who are still using those earbuds, which I really am going to encourage you to steer clear of, because I love you and I love your free thinking, critically thinking, expansive mind, and want to support you in protecting it. So I recommend getting onto the Defender Shield website and checking out their various EMF protective headphone options. For me personally, I like the over the ear ones. They're the most comfortable for me, but they also have ones that go into the ear, but they're wired, and there's some technology that they use that protects your beautiful brain from any EMF frequencies. So I have a link in my show description. I believe it comes along with a discount. So I'm encouraging you to run, don't walk, to the Defender Shield website and nab you and your entire family protective gear for your EMF emitting devices. I know that for myself, when I'm, you know, meeting a friend for tea, hanging out with a friend, and they pull out a phone that is not wrapped in Defender Shield gear, I stop the conversation to give them the link so that they will get themselves protected immediately. You are well worth the investment. So Defender Shield is your BFF when it comes to EMF protection. All right, that does it for housekeeping. Buckle up and prepare to enjoy today's show. Since I have already mentioned the Know Thyself Salon, I figure that's as good a place as any to start. Now, if you are not yet hip to my Know Thyself Salon, it is the rebrand of my Saturday Salon, which is a group coaching light community that meets once a week on Zoom. And the gist is, after we share an expansive meditation, then we dive into questions and prompts that are designed to allow us to know ourselves better, to expand, to heal, whole, transform, embrace our shadows, realize our potential, et cetera, et cetera. And so one of the prompts that we've been playing with for the past couple weeks has been, what is our relationship to external validation? And I myself have gotten so much value from this contemplation, because what I've been looking at in between our calls is, and this, you know, we've all been given this exercise, is to examine what are the through lines in the instances wherein we catch ourselves wanting or seeking external validation, and utilizing that information to recognize where there are still unintegrated wounds, shadows, traumas that are inviting our attention and reintegrating. Because if we are reaching outside of ourselves, if we are seeking validation outside of ourselves, then for those of us who are playing, you know, the evolution game, we're disempowered, right? Those are vulnerabilities wherein we are not operating from wholeness, and there are fragmented parts that aren't trusting our wholeness to give it what it needs, and thus reaching outside of ourselves. And I'm sure you guys know, because I've talked about this so many times, but it's that outward reaching that disempowers us and that renders us more easy to control. So as we started, like, we tiptoed into this conversation, and it was around this time that I finally got some professional medical advice on some sensations that I was experiencing in my wrist after a racquetball hit gone wonky that seemed to be growing louder and more intense when I had thought they were actually going to be softer and not really be a big deal. And for those of you who are new or aren't hip to my language of healing I'm very mindful in how I speak about healing opportunities, aka injuries and other health imbalances, so that I am consistently programming my body for swift, optimal healing. So I sought out a chiropractor, and we'll be talking about the chiropractor in a couple different instances today. And basically what he said was, it's going to be really helpful to be immobilized, right? And I kind of knew this, and I don't know about you guys, it's so easy for me to recognize what is going to support other people in their healing initiations, and I'm looking forward to the moment when it's just as easy for me to recognize where I can incorporate healing hacks for myself as well. So I was talking to a friend of mine who's a martial artist and former military. So he, you know, like me, is used to using our body in such a in ways which I'm trying to figure out how to language this most responsibly. Historically, I've injured myself quite a bit as an athlete and a very physical person. And this friend who I was talking to has as well, right? So we were kind of touching in on both of our healing processes. And what I said was, I know that it's going to serve me best to be immobilized, to immobilize the wrist. And I don't want to attract any attention. I don't want to attract people asking me, what's wrong? What happened? Because I don't want to be pulled into any negative feedback loops that would attract pity or any of those looks or that energy that can create negative feedback loops when we're in the healing process, in terms of people thinking that something's wrong or like there's a reason to be worried about me. And so my friend was like, I totally get it. I totally know where you're coming from. And so I was looking in terms of the contemplation around external validation and how like seeking external validation and not wanting external validation are really the exact same thing. They're just two different expressions of the same kind of external validation thread. So I bucked up, I put the vanity aside, which is really, you know, certainly playing a part of it, and, you know, succumbed to wearing a supportive brace to help me immobilize it, which is actually helping quite a bit. But what's fascinating is it's been almost 2 weeks, I'd say a good 11 days since I've been wearing this brace. Not a single person, in person or online, has asked me about it on any level. And I find it so funny in terms of recognizing I'm not really that important. And I don't say that in a self-deprecating, wrong use of will way. I say it from a place of neutrality. And I just think it's kind of funny. And I've also been slowly making my way through the Reality Transurfing audiobook, which I highly recommend. And because I have this tendency of reading and listening to many, many books at the same time, it's a slower meander. And there's a whole chapter in that book about importance. Cancel, clue, delete. There might not be a whole chapter. I'm remembering it as though there is, but it might be a segment in a larger chapter. And as I stop myself in the middle of this story, I'm inviting you guys into my current process, which is being a lot more responsible with the claims that I make. I have historically had tendency towards hyperbole, exaggeration, bombasticness. I'm not saying that those tendencies aren't still running through me, and I am making a concerted effort to reel it in a little bit. So maybe it was a whole chapter, maybe it was a section from a chapter. And it was really helpful in terms of recognizing when I place importance on, like, everyone needs to know how dangerous those injections are, or everyone needs to know what's happening with this social engineering strategy, or we all need to be more responsible with our public cell phone use, and I make it really important. That creates dissonance and dysregulation in my own body. And it also programs the field to make it more difficult for people to hear me and to receive my messages, because that importance frequency actually creates distortion. So I've already been in the conversation with myself around importance. And I just thought it was such a funny on-point lesson around the wrist brace of like, yeah, I'm not really that important, and no one's really that concerned about, you know, this brace on my wrist. And I've attracted not a single morsel of external validation or attention, positive or negative, because I've been wearing this brace. All right, pause for a moment. So I mentioned the chiropractor who is helping me strengthen and up-level and fortify and optimize my swiftly and completely healing wrist. And when I realized what was going on, of course, my first tactic whenever there's an injury, an imbalance with my health and opportunity to up level is to go to the internet and figure out how am I going to fix this myself. I have been like this since I was a kid. It's just something in me of, it's my body, I'm going to figure it out. And as I mentioned before, I do think it's probably one of the most empowering character building practices that I've incorporated into this earth walk, is taking on the health and care of my body myself with radical self-responsibility, and moving through different healing initiations by way of my own intuition, my own research. I'm not advising you guys to do this. I'm just saying this is what's worked for me. So in doing my research and having two other healers throw out the same diagnosis, which I'm not going to mention here because I don't find there's really value in them. And the value that I did get from the two mentions was, let me look online and see what this is and what's going to help it. And so late cold laser therapy was recommended. So cut to me calling, asking for recommendations for chiropractors in town, and then calling all of them to see, do you offer cold laser therapy? Do you have experience working with, diagnoses X? So I found that this chiropractor is like, yep, sure, no problem. We scheduled time for me to come in and try the cold laser therapy. So I had not met this person before. I am a new patient. I am a client. This is a business relationship that we are cultivating. So I walked into his office and I walked in and I hear two women and one man in the process of ripping Trump, right? And what they're saying doesn't matter. They're talking about the cuts from USAID and the various programs that are going to be destroyed and how he can't really do math. And it's basically just like Trump thumbs down, Trump thumbs down is the basic gist of the conversation that I had walked into. So none of these people know me. So the man turns to me, he greets me, and I said, hi, I'm Danny. I'm here for, whatever, 12 o'clock. And he's like, oh, nice to meet you. We were just talking about Trump. And I thought, what an interesting conversation for me to walk in on as a new client who's going to give money to his business, right? So the way that it was communicated to me made it seem like, oh, hey, we're Trump bashing. There was no like apology around it. There was no self-consciousness around it. There was no attempt to like steer the conversation away from politics to greet the new patient and start a different conversation. It was like, oh yeah, we're trashing Trump right now. This is what we're doing. This is the game you walked in on. And my response was, oh, did you guys vote for him too? As a pattern interrupt. So I want to be clear, I didn't vote for Trump in this last election. I didn't vote at all. I finally figured out that voting is pointless theatrics. It just gets us to consent to 14th Amendment federal citizenship enslavement, not to mention the fact that New Mexico is under Dominion voting machine tyranny. So there's really no point on any level for me to be going through the performative machinations of voting. And I'd been talking with a girlfriend of mine the week before who also didn't vote. And we were talking about the power in political neutrality, the power in not being aligned with any particular quote unquote side or party or civil servant. Gives us a lot of leeway in conversations to pattern interrupt. And so she was giving the example of, one instance wherein she lied and said she voted for Trump to get in with, a certain relational dynamic, and then a different time where she lied and said in 2016 that she'd voted for Hillary to get in, make inroads with a different relational dynamic. And while I certainly don't advocate for lying in general, I think that like in a case like this, I have absolutely no problem with it because I think what's more important than revealing who we voted for, didn't vote for, didn't even vote at all. Keep in mind, when we step into those voting booths, we're behind curtains. It's supposed to be anonymous. So just the fact that people's voting records or voting preferences have it's now become, trendy for them to be so public. I feel like that's a distortion in and of itself. And because of this engineered and super very caustic fake divide that has been foisted upon the populace, I, like my friend, find value in utilizing the voting and the political allegiance conversation for pattern interrupts, just to wake people out of their programming and their indoctrination around what it means if someone voted for Trump, if someone doesn't vote at all, like all of those stories and stereotypes and bigotry. I find value in busting through that and snapping people out of their like unconscious slumber around these conversations, which is why I had no problem with saying, oh, you guys voted for him too, just to be that pattern interrupt and be like, hey, you're in mixed company. I don't think it's very helpful for people to project their indoctrination onto everyone and just assume that everyone is rolling with the exact same indoctrinated political allegiances, as well as the exact same indoctrinated political ignorance, right? The ignorance of people citing, their NPR sourced numbers as though they're true. And at the same time, I don't want to shame and blame these people that they haven't yet snapped out of the programming that has them still giving their allegiance to these bought and paid for propaganda arms that are posing as ethical journalistic outlets, which, as someone who's worked for many of them, I can tell you they are not on any level. And I also just thought it was a bold risk that the practitioner was taking in assuming, just assuming, that I was going to be on the same page and that it was going to be a smart entry for me to be welcomed into his practice, to jump in to the slagging and the negative gossiping about the dude in the Oval. I just thought it was funny. Now, to be, fully clear and transparent, the chiropractor is awesome, super sweet, not hung up on a lot of that like leftist close-mindedness that a lot of us are seeing in the space. So no disrespect. I actually felt like he recovered in a really graceful and beautiful way. And this is also a prompt for you and me and all of us that I think it's really, really important to not normalize that kind of one-sided, assumptive political bigotry. I think it's very important that those of us who are not buying into the fake divide, who are not buying into Orange Man bad, regardless of whatever, criticisms and, frustrations we have with what he's doing now, regardless of how many of us know that the whole sham show is so freaking fake and is just there to like distract and collect loosh, regardless of where we stand, I am enrolling you in joining me in pattern interrupting that kind of political ignorance and bigotry and divisive nonsense happening out there in the world. And notice that I didn't go after the fallacious data they were citing in their conversation, which specifically was about the money being taken away from NPR, which, as we know, is 1% of their budget max. And put into the military industrial complex. So, as I've spoken about before, I'm not engaging the conversation from the low vibe level of the construct in which the conversation is taking place, data points around budgetary reorganization. I go to the construct in general. Oh, you guys are talking about Trump. You guys are assuming that I'm going to bash Trump with you. I'm going to poke at that and go higher and say, oh, you voted for him too? Doesn't matter if I did or I didn't. What I'm saying, I'm holding up a mirror and saying, you guys are making assumptions that are incorrect and that are, I don't want to say dangerous, and let's say I was like a hardcore, MAGA identified Trump supporter. Walking in to a new business and walking into that conversation could be enough to send me away. Now, I don't advocate for that kind of closed-mindedness where I would step away from someone's skillfulness as a healer because of their political conversations, right? That's silly. I'm not going to do that. And also recognizing, like, I think it disturbs me how normalized Trump bashing has become. And I spoke about this back when he was elected in 2016, when strangers at the gym would open up conversations with Trump bashing, again, just assuming that I was under their same mind control. And back then I would say, oh, he's my uncle. You know him too, right? just anything to like snap him out of like it, you know, whether it's Trump or whether it's like your mailman or whether it's like your sister-in-law, I don't recommend opening conversations with character mashing, with character assassination. It's very risky, as well as low vibe. So as I said, no harm, no foul. I'm very, very happy to be collaborating with this chiropractor on my swift strengthening, healing, and optimization of my wrist. And I'm guessing there was a lesson in that for him. I'm hoping there was a lesson in that for him to like just not assume that everyone's running the same mind control. Next on the list. So this is the first solo podcast I've recorded since coming back from the Confluence event in Bandera, Texas. I did put out a solo podcast immediately upon my return, and I had recorded that before I left. So I put this in my newsletter, and again, if you haven't yet signed up, definitely you know, get your cute little butt over to dannycats.com and sign up for that newsletter so that you could be kept in the know about things like my post-Confluence integration and my latest product drop, which is Gemini AF. And I'll keep that in initials since we are in the public portion of today's podcast, and my Gemini season product line, because as of now, I'm only announcing my new product drops by way of my newsletter and on my blog on my dannycats.com website. So this is where all the magic is, dannycats.com. So for those who don't know, Confluence is an annual event in Bandera, Texas. This is the third year, and it is a really, really beautiful community gathering for those who are devoted to freedom, to creating new, you know, parallel societies, to extricating ourselves not just from Systrom, Matrix, you know, various fallacious constructs like, you know, germ theory, like they call it globalists, globists, right? These are the people who are questioning the existence of virus, of genes, which have also not been isolated, questioning the shape of the planet, who are, you know, delving into lucid dreaming, who are delving into conversations around law, educating ourselves as to the difference between legal fictions and lawful truth. There were yoga classes, there was breath work, like it was fantastic. And what I noticed in watching the other workshop leaders and presenters, I was there to present a workshop. I gave an hour 15 minute long Language of Sovereign Authority talk to a packed yurt. I was very dazzled to see how many people showed up, and I had multiple event organizers tell me that my yurt workshop was the most well attended of them all by like a massive long shot. So that made me feel good and warm and fuzzy. And yes, I recognize that's external validation, and I'm still a work in progress, and I'm still coming into bigger and greater and more expansive levels of independence and autonomy and self-sufficiency. And still, sometimes external validation feels good. So, one thing that came up for me when I was attending the other talks and workshops was how integrated a lot of the other presenters were in their work, and how, you know, Dr. Edith, who's working with the blindfolded children and teaching them how to see, which was an incredible demonstration where these children were wearing blackout blindfolds, were able to recognize colored pieces of paper, were able to separate and organize colored popsicle sticks, were able to solve Rubik's Cubes, play chess, read words, draw pictures, interpret other children's illustrations, all while blindfolded. So what I noticed was, wow, a lot of these speakers, most of these speakers are very integrated, right? They're doing, you know, one main thing. They're really embodying their work in a way that speaks to their integrity and their basically integration. And so I had the thought, well, I'm not integrated, right? And then I caught myself This is the point of my work. My quantum languaging work is listening to where the languaging is a trap, where the language is limiting me. I had mentioned in my Confluence talk that fixity was one of the more dense or opaque signifiers of hierarchical languaging in this particular languaging paradigm that I call the language of betterarchy. And so this is an example of fixity, right? When I say I'm not integrated, I am basically setting the idea of my lack of integration, right? So that's a conversation, that's a statement that's marked by lack. But it's also marked by fixity because I'm setting it in stone by saying I am not, right? So one of the basics in quantum languaging, and I actually, this is, you know what? This is a little piece of the Yes I Am Transformational Coloring Book. And what an amazing opportunity to do a little reading from my newly upgraded and extra very colorable coloring book. So the reason that this coloring book is called Yes, I Am is explained in this little bit. So I'm picking up from, I just want to, I'm trying to figure out how to contextualize this. So this is the About This Super Rad Book page. Adapted for the I Am calendar, Yes I Am is a transformational coloring book designed to prompt, prod, beckon, cajole, guide, and support you in being your very best you ever yet. There's more, but I think that's all the context we need for this next part. Just as the I Am calendar, let's try that again. Just as the I Am calendar featured a different I Am theme each month, the I Am coloring book is divided into 12 different I Am chapters. And there's a little illustration of I Am in bubble letters, which are so fun to color. I am are the most powerful words in all the mystical traditions. Encoded in these words is the transformative power of the multiverse. Use them wisely, kiddos. So just as I am are the most powerful words in any mystical tradition, because there are some mystical traditions that equate those two words, I am, with the most high him, herself, right? With G daddy, him, herself. So when I say I am not integrated, that is a powerful declaration that I am making to myself, to my subconscious mind, to the morphogenetic field at large. I am not integrated. So forces of reality creation, please collaborate with me to affirm and to continue this state of not integration, not being integrated, right? So this is what fixity does in terms of fixity being one of the 10 markers of hierarchical languaging, is recognizing when am I languaging something that is not serving me, that is not serving the collective, that I'm not down with, that I don't want to experience more of. When am I languaging it with language that is coded with the frequencies of fixity, thus shooting myself in the foot by casting my vote in the morphogenetic field for more of whatever the thing is that the fixity language is languaging is modifying to exist and persist. I hope that made sense, because I think I got I got a few too many words away from the beginning of that sentence to hold on to it. I'm such a fan of run-on sentences. David Foster Wallace was a huge influence on me, although I was into run-on sentences before he gave us Infinite Jest, which was like, I mean, I feel like if there's a literary dictionary that's defining each of these literary techniques or, you know, quote unquote mistakes, I feel like next to run-on sentence, it should just say, see Infinite Jest. And for my literary nerds out there who know what I'm talking about, thank you. Thank you for being with me. So the fix in terms of moving from the hierarchical and limiting frequencies of fixity by saying I'm not integrated, right? And being down on myself is I'm still integrating. I'm still in the process of integrating. And this is consistently going to be the upgrade for fixity. Fixity being, as I'm going to say it again, but with a visual aid, one of the 10 markers of the language of hierarchy that I delineate in the language of betterarchy, which is a blueprint, not just for unifying, for moving us out of this outdated, tyrannical, status-based organizational structure that you and me and all of us have been called to transform. So the gist is, when I say I'm not integrated, I'm solidifying and fixing the idea of lack of integration, right? So when that's the phrase that I'm thinking to myself or saying to other people, all that's doing is giving me more lack of integration. It's perpetuating that experience. When I switch it to I'm still in the process of integrating, I'm still mastering integration. Although for me, what I've been playing with more, it just feels more resonant for me, is I'm still integrating. And again, no hard and fast rules. You know, it's always like play with the just right languaging that lands in your intuitive sweet spot. So when I switch it up to I am still integrating, now I am not connecting with any lack or limitation. It's not about the lack of integration that I have done or that is present within me. It's about where I'm moving to. It's about putting my process in motion. It's about acknowledging that I am a work in progress, that I am an ever evolving, ever awakening, ever expanding being. And it's giving voice to that process while also activating and connecting me with the frequency of the integration that I continue to move towards, instead of pulling me in the opposite direction, completely away from it, and saying I am not integrated. So the consistent upgrade for the fallacious fixity, when we're speaking words and phrases coded with fixity, is always put this the process in motion with an ing word, and allow us to move towards the frequency, the experience, the circumstance that we're preferring, right? That's the switch up when it comes to fixity. So it's not about the lack of integration, it's about the integration I'm moving towards. It's not about the, you know, let's just, I'm trying, how am I going to phrase this? It's not about the injury I'm healing in my wrist. It's about the strength and up leveling that my body is currently moving towards, right? So if someone was to ask about my wrist, which we've already established hasn't even happened, I would never say, oh, I have this, or I did this to myself. I would say, I'm strengthening and optimizing and up leveling my racquetball hand, right? There's enough clues in there for people to put the pieces together. Oh, something happened at racquetball that created some pain and some distortion, and she is right now healing that, right? So I'm not staying in the energetic of the fixity. I have, you know, arm blandy. Let's just make it up. Let's call it arm blandy. That's not even a thing, which is perfect, because there are no negative frequencies encoded in arm blandy. So I don't say I have arm blandy. I say I am healing and strengthening and optimizing my racquetball wrist, right? That's where I'm moving towards, instead of keeping me in the energy of the blandy and any and all negative coding connected to the arm blandy. We're going to be going deeper into this in my upcoming Language of Healing webinar, and I'm right now in the process of scheduling that. So I'm including in this podcast a link to a scheduling survey so that I can schedule the 2-hour webinar such that you and as many of us as possible who want to be there can attend. So as you're inspired in learning more about the language of healing, learning how to language these healing initiations in such a way so that we are accelerating our healing and guaranteeing our healing, then thank you for clicking through the scheduling survey in the show description here, because I really welcome your feedback because I want you to be there. Okay, so now I want to speak a little bit more about frequency bands, because even though the external validation that I received from the talk that I gave at Confluence was effusively, overwhelmingly positive, I was aware of places where it can be better, right? And so one of the pieces that I saw was that I feel like for my next talk, I'm excited to continue to weave the idea of frequency bands throughout the entire talk and to keep that idea alive and to keep connecting the different languaging examples that I'm sharing, to keep connecting them to the frequency bands. I know that's going to go a long way in helping it land. And I also know there was a lot of value in the talk I gave, so I'm not like sweating it or beating myself up. So yay for progressing. Anyway, frequency bands are a big part of this languaging paradigm that I call quantum languaging, language of betterarchy, language of healing, language of eternity, right? They're all connected to this idea of frequency bands. So I want to take us through that now, just so that it really, really lands. I imagine frequency bands like arcing rainbows over the realm, right? For those who aren't buying into the fact that we live on a round ball, we'll just call it the realm, right? And I just like to have a visual because for me, the way my brain works, it helps me understand things more easily. So frequency bands are little bands of energy in the larger morphogenetic field, which is the field of energy, a singular field of energy that connects all members of any species, right? So human beings, we have our own morphogenetic field, and all of our actions and words and thoughts and deeds are programming that morphogenetic field. And that morphogenetic field is holding all of the programming that we as humans have ever put into it, right? And so whatever we program into that morphogenetic field, by way of our words, thoughts, and deeds, that is how the morphogenetic field determines how it's going to configure our collective reality, by taking what, you know, the most programming, right? If we have, let's say 70% of people are programming it with fear, then the morphogenetic field is going to take this dominant frequency and deliver a reality construct that is marked by that fear, because that's the program material we're putting into it. The frequency bands are these little bands, little, I don't know if that's the right adjective, but they're these bands of energy that make up the frequency band. So for those who remember records, all those lines and grooves around the records represent individual frequency bands. And the key to mastering quantum languaging, to mastering a mindful, you know, empowered communication paradigm, is to clue into the coding in our words and phrases and recognize which frequency bands that coding is going to connect us to, right? And so these are, when I say the 10 markers of hierarchical languaging, and, you know, be they identity, separation, fear, lack, limitation, fixity, victimhood, wrong use of will, right? It's by no means exhausted. These are exhaustive. These are simply the markers that I put in my book because I see them the mostest. So let's stick with fixity, and let's stick with the example of I'm not integrated, right? So when I say I'm not integrated, those words resonate at a certain frequency because of the coding in each word, right? Every single word has its own unique coding, like a fingerprint, like a snowflake. So because the phrase I am not integrated is coded with the frequencies of lack and fixity, then when I articulate that idea or even think it in my mind, I'm not integrated. Those frequencies are going to attune me to the frequencies in the larger morphogenetic field of lack and of fixity, thus ensuring that I get more lack and a longer stint of the lack because of that fixity coding that allows it to stick around, that programs the morphogenetic field as well as my subconscious mind, oh, let's continue with more lack of integration, right? So I just wanted to give us a little bit more context for the frequency bands of recognizing, like if we're imagining them, you know, when I put it in the book, I have one illustration of, remember bumper cars, and bumper cars are connected to their own tracks. Like you can't go anywhere in a bumper car. There are tracks that give you like some degree of freedom as long as you follow the track. So the frequency bands are kind of like those tracks, and it's recognizing, well, what are the tracks or the frequency bands that I, as a conscious, empowered reality creator, want to be connecting to? And what are the ones that I would rather not be connecting to? And then being very diligent in choosing our words so that we're eschewing the words that are coded with energetics that are going to connect us to frequency bands that are going to give us experience of reality that we don't want to experience, right? Like my cautiousness in talking about the healing initiation I'm going through with my wrist is because I am sidestepping any words or phrases that would connect me to frequency bands that would tell my body that there's something wrong, that would tell my body to hold on to inflammation, pain, you know, ruptures, tears, breaks, blands, like whatever it is. When I avoid using words and phrases that would connect me with those frequency bands, I'm avoiding continuing to have those experiences. Instead, when I say I'm swiftly healing and strengthening my wrist, I'm connecting to the frequency bands of health optimization, of strengthening, of healing, right? So when I connect with those frequency bands, it creates a resonance between the morphogenetic field and my body, which not only attunes my body and my subconscious mind to accelerated healing, it brings me more healing tools. It brings people into my life who can help me because I'm speaking from the frequency, from the timeline, from the dimension of swift up-leveled healing. So remembering those frequency bands for me is just a great shorthand way for me to recognize a deleterious coding and, you know, the places or umbrellas that I don't want to be activating, and reminding me to use words and phrases that are going to connect me to those umbrellas or those, you know, kind of rainbows or bumper car tracks that are going to connect me to experiences and circumstances that I want to be experiencing more of. So I hope that cancel, clear, delete. I don't hope. I trust that helped to clarify the frequency bands. And as much as possible, I'm going to continue to call back to frequency bands to help us remind us. I feel like the more that I can call back to it, the easier it's going to be for us to grok, because I'm just going to be able to keep it alive throughout these languaging conversations. That does it for the first half of today's solo pod romp. As you are inspired to join me and us for the second half, you can find that over on my Locals community as well as my Patreon community. At both of those platforms, for as little as $5 a month, you get access to all of my second half conversations plus extra bonus stuff. plus, the knowingness, the good, the yummy, warm, fuzzy feelings that come along with supporting me in keeping on keeping on. Your generous support really goes a massively long way in helping me continue to put out content like this. So if you're receiving any value whatsoever, I encourage you to feel into supporting me on the Locals and and the Patreon. Also, last reminder to sign up for my newsletter at dannycats.com. Last reminder to nab Defender Shield protective cases for you and yours by way of the link in this show description. Thank you so much for sharing your sacred attention with me. Thank you for remembering that every word matters, that you are omniscopic amazingness. I will see you over on the Locals and the Patreon tribe. Have a rockin' day.